Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. As we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, where you can listen to the boxing news, the interviews, the legend tales, and boxing history. As we travel around the world looking for them past, present, and future stars. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And live on from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, radio aficionado Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Good morning, Aaron. Yes, indeed. Hello. It's a nice day here in Schuylkill County. It's getting a little bit warmer, but man, it's been a wild time, and it was still going on. But we have some good news to report today too. A lot of things happening.
Yeah, a lot of things are going on, but, you know, as we have reported, too, you know, there are little things are starting to open up, and it looks like there's some activity with boxing events that happen around the world. We're going to look forward to that. But, Bob, this COVID-19, it looks like states are opening up and things like that. It's to our understanding that Atlanta governor has opened the state of Atlanta up, and we'll talk a little bit about that too, Bob.
Right. You mean Georgia, right. They're doing things in Georgia and also Florida. We have some news from there too. And other things are happening, but we'll just give you a quick total. As of now, we're looking at 2,750,000 cases worldwide, 94,000 people dead, 50,000 in the United States. It's a 3.4% mortality rate on the world right now, which is smaller than like the SARS epidemic of 2002 and also the MERS epidemic. So, you know, that mortality rate, they're saying, could drop too because more people, as they start testing, find out people are positive but didn't have, severe reactions. So the number of cases could go up, and hopefully the mortality rate will continue to drop.
Yeah, well, some good news for Schuylkill County too, you know. Up there, I believe it's Frackfield, they have a lab that's testing antibodies tests that you can take up there to see if you had it before, your antibody count, whatever is going with that. But that's some breaking ground headway for Schuylkill County to have a lab like that that's doing that kind of work, because up there in the Northeast, it's COVID-19, I believe, in Hazleton and up the mountain, up by Pocono Mountain and stuff, is really heavy up in that area. And for Schuylkill County to have a testing site that's doing that antibody stuff, I believe. Congratulations to Schuylkill County for being on the cutting edge of this thing. I think it's
also, that's great. And on the worldwide level, go back to China. Obviously, that's where the whole thing started a couple months back in December. But China, as of March 22nd, so like about a month ago, they started testing a new vaccine, and they had 108 volunteers, and they're doing the trials for 3 months, and they're giving people doses of all different sizes, small, medium, and large doses. So there are vaccines out there too, not just in Frackville, but we're seeing these things starting to pop up around the world, but we're still a long way away, a couple months yet, to have any kind of vaccine that's really going to be able to take care of this thing right from the start. But the big thing, again, is all about testing. And, the better we can get people tested to find out where we all stand, the better off we'll all be.
Well, misinformation that came out of China when it first happened, that caters and people are saying, you know, for them to come up with a vaccine and stuff, hey, look, it's something, hey, you got to look at it as spectacle nature, plus the way this thing is hitting minorities and things at alarming rate. That's to look at. We had talked about things before. But, as we say in boxing, is to protect yourself at all times. You know, make sure you're washing your hands very well, washing your face when you're going outside for long periods of time. You know, when you come in the house, make sure the bottom of your shoes are clean and change your clothing, you know, and stuff like that. Because you got to protect yourself at all times, Bob, and wear a mask and stuff like that. And if you got to, put the rubber gloves on, because that's part of the deal too. And if we can, as they said, you know, everybody done a good job, but we need to do a greater job, man. Let's knock this thing out, man. We can do it. We all going to do it. We're all in it. So
absolutely.
And when Americans pull together, we're second to none, bro. You know, and
right.
That's what it's all about, Bob. And when we talk about places opening up like the states, they said Georgia, when you're talking about barber shops and, you know, like gyms and stuff, man, I, from my own experience, you know, with gym sanitizing and things like that, man, it's going to be a rough beat, you know, and you're going to have to really, really protect yourself, because now you got sweat. What you're dealing, people going to work out, people breathing real heavy and sucking oxygen back in when they exert themselves. You know, a mask is going to be needed. You're probably going to have to carry a little spray down bottle with you, spray and wipe down when you start, when you finish, and keep yourself wiped down for sweat control, you know. And when you come in the gym and out of the gym, you know, make sure that you put your sweaty towels and stuff in plastic bags or something like that. You know, those sandwich big bags, you know, put your sweaty clothes in there and zip it up, man, and, you know, protect yourself. You know, this is really something. So we're going to see how things go on, Bob.
Right, and Georgia is going to be a key state here because they are opening, so all eyes will be on Georgia to see some people, the health officials. Some of them were saying it was too early. They haven't peaked yet in Georgia, but this will be the test ground. You know, all eyes will be seeing what happens here. I mean, they got bowling alleys opening. They said the hair salons, barbershops, but the gyms. And also we're talking about Florida, too. They have ruled, we talked about this before, that boxing, mixed martial arts, and the wrestling have all been ruled essential. And so they're starting to maybe roll back out again, too. And we don't know exactly how that's going to play out, too. But, again, Georgia and Florida are keeping their eyes on it. But we've got some good news, too, before we move into other parts. But Termite Watkins, he had been in the hospital for 27 days. He's everybody knows that name, Termite, or, you know, his fumigation business and all that and what he did with in Iraq when he went over there and got the Iraqi Olympic team. They got a boxer into the Olympics. But, anyway, good news. That Termite Watkins has been released from the hospital. But however, we did lose somebody this week, Francisco Mendez of the Mendez Boxing Gym in New York City. He died of the COVID-19. He was 61 years old. And Nelson Cuevas, who we lost a couple weeks ago, also worked out of that gym in New York City, too.
Yeah, you know, the fatality rate. But we do have some good news, Bob. It ain't all about death, neither. It's
right.
About living. And our hearts go out to those families that have lost the loved ones. It's one brotherhood and sisterhood in boxing. And when you lose one person, like we said before, it's like you have lost all of mankind, you know. But when you save a life, it's like you have saved all of mankind. And, you know, our hearts go out to them about that. And, Bob, we want to say, you know, this month here, Ramadan has just started. For the Muslims
right.
around the world, it's a month of fast and prayer and thanking God for of what he's done to them and try to clean the slate to try to find things that you can do better and how you can grow as a human being and sacrifice. It's about giving and being kind to others and worship. So I want to say to all the Muslims around the world, assalamu alaikum. And Ramadan Kareem to you, and may your fast be easy and good for each and every one of you during this hard time. But God tries us in many ways and tests us in many ways to help us grow to get to know him better. And through this month, if you're not a Muslim, you know, fast. You know, if you believe in God, fast, because prayer is not but the tool that changes things, Bob. So I just wanted to say that, you know. So
yeah.
We get back in the boxing. So Bob, what happened with? We had one event that really happened in boxing around the world, or going to happen. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, tonight there was a fight. Actually, we're talking at the Alexis Aguero Gymnasium down in Managua, Nicaragua. And it's going to be televised on Nicaraguan Channel 6 TV. But also ESPN Deportes Channel will air that tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. That's the Spanish-speaking ESPN channel. And we're basically looking at headlining Robin Zamora. He's 15-7, 8 knockouts, stepping in with Ramiro Blanco, 18-7-3 with 10 KOs. And that's an 8-round lightweight clash. Again, none of these fights have been or any kind of title fights or anything. But we do have action. Also on that same card, minimum weights, Elias Urgazo, 18-10-2, and Byron Castellanos, 14-13-3, do battle. And super featherweights, Franco Gutierrez, 10-3, and Edwin Torcero face off. And those are 6-rounders, and it's a total of 8 cards on the battle. And I should also mention that these fights all feature Nicaraguan fighters. And here's how they're setting it up for this evening. Fans will have their temperature taken as they enter the building, and they will sit 1 meter apart, basically 3 feet apart. We're doing the physical distancing here of 6 feet. They're cutting that in half to 1 meter. Also, the ringside personnel will be required to wear masks and latex gloves, and we're talking to commissioners and the doctors or anybody else who was right there in that close proximity to the ring. Now, out of whole Nicaragua, the country has 10 cases only, which we say only at this point in time. And 8 of those came from outside of the country, and they've had 2 reported fatalities. So, again, here's another experiment as far as having these things behind closed doors. As a matter of fact, some other news this week, WBC's Mauricio Sulaiman said they're ready to set some protocols probably coming up early next week to have closed-door fights. And one of the things they're proposing is that they have an event and the fighters come into town 1 month before the event, and they stay in town, and you know they're very rigid as far as what they can do and where they can go. So there's a lot of steps to be looking at. Bob Arum also came out this week saying, hey, you know, because of the international aspect of this whole thing and traveling here and there, he's looking at when they start back up again on the Friday night fights and ESPN fights and whatnot, they're looking at basically a card of only 4 fights rather than the 8, 9, 10 that you usually see, again, primarily for travel purposes. And, you know, I think there people are just starting to agree that, yeah, once you have the fight, fighters get into town early, stay there, and then go and take the fight and see where we go from there. But anyway, there's a little break there, you know, a little cloud silver lining, and the crowd's starting to come back here. And we're starting to, again, you know, we have some fights, nothing big, but there is, we can start seeing the end of the tunnel maybe here.
Yeah, well, when you talk about fights happening and that happening, you know, it looks like that fight may make history, you know, with being one of the first places in the world to come out with a bout
in
after
the
close down. But let me tell you, Bob, when you're doing fights, you need venues. And it is, to my understanding, is that Twin River Worldwide Holdings, you know, with these casinos being closed down all over, right, there's a lot of purchasing of casinos. And Twin Rivers Worldwide Holding down in Atlantic City is buying Bally's from Caesars for $25 million, brother. Isn't that something? $25 million. And they're making a move, you know. They have this company, they have 7 casinos now, 2 in Rhode Island, 1 in Delaware, 1 in Mississippi, and they have 3 casinos or horse track races in Colorado in 8 states. So that's a big move for somebody during this time to buy up. So it's making and open some doors for venues. New game in block at Bally's, who with Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame, we're going to do an event. Ray McCline was with Bally's. So you got a new owner, it looks like. So and our guest is holding the queue. We have them online, and we'll get to them in just a second as we go through this here. And to look at some things that are going on around the world, Mike Tyson is talking about doing exhibitions to raise money for charity. That would be a great thing. I think Mike would do very, very well in that. You know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah, I noticed he's out running and working out, and, yeah, he came off this week saying that he's looking forward to doing something, right? Maybe we'll see him and Mayweather.
Mayweather, you know, no activity in boxing, but he's been training, he's been running, they've been filming in the desert and stuff like that, him as always promoting himself. But people are saying, is Mayweather broke? You know what he's doing, Bob? You know, since he can't make money no other way, doing nothing, he's charging people online $2,300 for a meet and greet online. Bob, the money went off. That cash flowing. Money Mayweather, something special when it comes to that. But, you know, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury and all of them are keeping the gossip going about who's going to fight who, what it's going to look like. And Eddie Hearns and Bob Arum and them are right in the middle of that heavyweight picture. Will Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury 3 happen or it won't happen, or the bigger fight between Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury happened in England? Even Dave Price, who's retired, he said, I'll come out and I'll fight the winner of them. And, you know, so during this time, out there can do anything. You can't even train unless you got a gym at your home. Hey, look, they're all keeping the gossip rumor mill flowing red hot in social media and newspaper and things, and which is a good thing to help promote the sport, Pop.
Right, and we go down to the Alvarez thing, too. You know, Canelo, the fighter of the year last year and all that, and he's, you know, looking to see whether or not they're going to have the third fight with Triple G. And also, Usyk was in the news, Alexander Usyk. He's been sitting on that number one mandatory WBO for a while. He's scratching to go on take on Joshua, too. You know, it was down to whether it was going to Usyk or Pulev there before this all happened, and Pulev, IBF one out there, you know, so Joshua was going to defend, and that was scheduled for early June. You know, we don't know when that's going to happen. So, yeah, there's a lot of things people are keeping the noise going, you know, but we also see, you know, even this past week now, Chocolatito Gonzalez and Estrada were talking about doing a third fight, too. So, you know, while we're down, we're certainly not lacking for any kind of information or any kind of, you know, I love when these guys come out and say, I'll fight him, and her. You know, they don't care. They want to fight somebody.
Yeah. Hey, look, but I'm going to tell you that. With nobody being able to fight, nobody being prepared to fight, hey, look, somebody's hungry, you know, and need. This is when you see the best of fights in these type of times when people are not getting paid, making money. You know, when they come out, everybody's going to be hungry and everybody's going to be biting at the bit. And that's a great thing. So, Bob, since we have our guest holding on to the queue, we're going to go into that, Bob.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions with our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, who just took on us around that world and found one fight, who is our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. But our guest that we're bringing in is Sarge David Pugh from Fort Myers Boxing Program. He's the coach there. He's the one in charge, man. We had some tragedy. You know, we've been helping him, and we'd like to welcome Dave Pugh into the show. How you doing, Sarge?
I'm doing good, sir. How you doing today?
Good, good, good. You know, we call him Leo for short, but can you tell us, you know, about your boxing program first, and then we'll go into Leo with the sad news of what is going on with him.
Okay, well, first of all, good morning. I would like to say thank you for allowing me to come on your show and express my condolences for my brother, fighter, soldier, and one of my friends. I'd like to give honor to God just to say thank you for allowing us to be here right now. But yes, I am the head coach of the Fort Myer boxing team, and we've been fighting for about 2 years now, 2 years training and fighting strong. And yeah, we have about 25 fighters on the team, and all of them are soldiers. We have two civilians on the team, but majority are soldiers in the United States Army. And yeah,
you know, there's a saying that y'all have: you leave no one behind. And we have a fallen soldier, a fighter, that I had a wonderful chance to meet, talk with, watch him train, give him some advice, encouragement, and things. We had a great exchange when I come down there with you, Dave. But talk about Leo. Give his full name, his rank, and who he is, and about his family.
Okay. Well, Specialist Leonardo Schifoli was an infantryman at Fort Myer, Arlington National Cemetery, Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He was an infantryman and hotel company, and he was a phenomenal soldier. He was one of those soldiers who you gave something to and you didn't have to think twice about it being done. He was awesome with his physical fitness. He was about to go to Ranger School. He was about to do great things in his military career. He just joined the military in 2019. He was here with his wife, Kiera, and his son, Takari. Every day, as you know, his whole family was in the gym with him every single day, training, laughing, playing around. Team is not a team. Our team is a family. And we lost a big part of our family.
Yeah, he was something special. I watched him do, man, he looked like a real ninja, some of the stuff he used to do. The way he moved around when he was boxing. And on the side, when he used to practice, I mean, he was like those ninja things that you see on TV. He could flip, he could turn, he could jump straight up in the air after being on the ground, roll backwards and jump up. And he was so athletically inclined. And not only that, his boxing skills, the way he boxed. Talk a little bit about his amateur experience, and we have another one of our guests from Fort Myers hanging in the queue, and you hang there, and we'll bring him on, who's also a fighter, and he wants to talk a little bit about Leonard. But speak about Leo's amateur background that he had.
Okay, so Leo is originally from Australia, and over there, they take their boxing really seriously. They have underground fights and everything. And I have videos of him doing that, but he had over 35 fights already before he joined the military. So he was already well on his way. He was a southpaw, and he was special. He was a dog. He was really a beast in the ring. He didn't take no for an answer. He wouldn't quit. If you hit him, he was coming back immediately. But his technical skills was already above his years. He was only 20 years old, but his technical skills in the ring, how he moved and how he cut corners and how he set up his opponents, there was no one on his level. And I lost a brother. I definitely lost a brother.
Yeah, we lost a brother and we lost a friend. And the sad thing is, his wife is pregnant. He has a one-year-old child, like he said, and that's something sad. But let's bring one of his teammates that are on the boxing team in. I don't know who it is, from 706 area code. Welcome into the World Boxing Review radio show.
Hey, it's Gonzalez.
Oh, well, how you doing,
can
champ?
You hear me?
Yes, Gonzalez. Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah. We can hear you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your teammate, Leo, and then talk about you.
All right, yeah, Leo was great. I loved watching him box. He was one of my favorite boxers in the team, hands down. He had speed. He had power, technique. This guy, he was fun to watch. He was. I love training, going to training just to watch him too. Like, it just, the guy was uplifting. He had a good spirit, man. He was definitely, hands down, one of the top three, and I knew he was going to make it. Like, I knew he was going to win his matches and make it somewhere. Like, you know, when you see this guy fight, you know it. He had the it factor. So I really...
Yes, he did.
I miss the guy. I really wanted to watch more of his fights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wish I would have seen more. I wanted to see more of this guy.
Yeah,
and he was,
well,
so young.
Yeah, so young. This is what makes the tragedy so sad. You know, but talk a little bit about you, and then we'll let you on because we have somebody else hanging in the queue.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about yourself.
So I'm an older cat. I just turned 33, but I still got some fights in me. I'm definitely going to win my fights when I get in there. I just, you know, just like Cipolli, you know, we train daily, and I just missed the guy, you know?
It's a sad thing.
Yeah.
But look, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show with us. I'm going to cut you out because we got to bring another one of your teammates in and thank you. And we hear your cry and we hear your call.
All right.
And thank you for coming on to talk about Leo. Our next guest is area code 202.
Hey, how's
Hello?
It going? It's Jackie. Yeah, how's it going? It's Jackie.
Yeah. Oh, Jackie, how are you doing, Jackie?
I'm doing really good. I'm doing pretty good this morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. You know, your teammate Leo. Can you talk a little bit about him, Jackie?
Man, there's so much you could say about Leo. Just from the way he boxes to the jokes he made to the fun we had in practice, even when the struggle was definitely real. I can say for myself. You know, I'm new to the boxing game. I've been in it for about a year now. And just being embraced by somebody when I started boxing and, you know, learning a new sport, you know, I came from playing basketball. So learning a new sport and trying to be introduced to something is already hard, but he definitely helped me and welcomed me with open arms and, you know, taught me a lot. And just the type of person he was a very outgoing person. As I said, he made the workouts that were harder. He made them easier. Just by his spirit and what he brought into the gym every day. Definitely a hard hitter. I just love the spirit that he had, as well as, like, he was a family man. His wife and his son were always in the gym when we were. And they're, you know, she's a good person too. And his son, you know, he really was a good father, always including his son in his workouts, having a good time. And just thinking about it, you know, makes me feel even worse about it, because it's just going to be hard to, when we do get back in the gym, you know, not seeing him there. So.
Yeah, but we're all hurting. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
We want to talk a little bit about you too, Jackie, because you're something special. You have a lot of talent. Tell people what your day job is, what you do. You know, I had a chance to watch you in the gym train and how well talented that you are. But talk a little bit about what you do, your day job is, and what are your plans are in boxing.
All right, well, I work for the Metropolitan Police Department. I work in the public relations division. I'm a community outreach coordinator, so I work strictly with the civilians. And I help the community. Anything the community needs, my job to analyze it, get the help that they need, resources they need. And more like on the social work side of things, I have a passion for helping people. I look at myself as being a giver. As much as I can. So now with the boxing world, I just want to, you know, conquer all missions. I play professional basketball and I play college basketball, and I just want to take on a new sport. And I feel like I'm trying my hardest. I'm trying to be a hard hitter. I'm trying to be in the gym as much as I can while balancing my job, and I also coach. So it's a lot, but boxing is definitely something I've become passionate about over this year, and I can't wait to get in the ring and shake it up.
Well, Jackie, you got talent. I watch you spar men, and that's what's something special that Dave Pugh in the military, they bring something special. It's about equality. And I watch you handle yourself very well with men. You sparring men. So it elevates boxing to the level where we all want it to go, where we won't have to say, hey, this is a match between a man and a woman, instead of saying, this is a fight. This is a match.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I watch you. You're very talented. And
we
have other guests on here, Jackie, but thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show. Let's go to our next guest, and we feel your pain.
Thank you so much. Rest in peace, Leo.
You're welcome. All right. Bob, we have another guest coming on, Bob. We're seeing it, watching it load up from 843 area code.
Yes. Okay.
Who am I speaking with?
Chase Harris.
How you doing, Chase Harris? Welcome into the World Boxing
sir.
Review radio show. Tell us a little bit about Leo from your dealings with him, and then talk a little bit about yourself.
I've known Leo the entire time he was in the Army. Me and him are in the same company. We'd work together. We'd box together. So when he got to our unit, I had known him the entire time.
Uh-huh.
He's just a great dude, like, overall. Usually when kids get out of basic training and get their units, they come in with a chip on their shoulder. And Leo wasn't like that. Leo got there, and he was optimistic. He was ready to learn. He was ready to do his job. He was just an overall good friend. And it takes a lot for me to be able to say that, because I've been in the Army 3 years going on four, and people come and go, but Leo is definitely a presence that have made a difference on me, and not only just me, but our entire company. Having had known him through work and leading into boxing, it had only drawn he and I closer, and then everybody on the team closer. And overall, he was just a good dude. He loved his son. He loved his wife. There's so much that could have been said about him that I'm sure you don't have time for, but he was just a good person overall. He griped and he complained just like any normal person did, but he would get over it, and he was focused on the task at hand.
Yeah.
Leo was probably one of my closest friends.
Yeah. Hey, let's go over to our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Bob, any questions? You know, because Leo was on the show with us. Any questions? You know, we have an interview with him, and we're going to share that at some time and point in the future with people when we come down there for his services. But any questions, Bob?
Jackie left, I guess, already. She's not on, but I wanted to just get a feeling, even from anybody who's still out there, for the guys that you've had on. What's going on as far as the sense of community? And I know she was talking about, you know, going into the communities and stuff. What's the general sense down there as far as, you know, people trying to recover and dealing with it? And how do you guys interact with any of that kind of stuff? I mean, from the base or anything else? I mean, you have, it's everywhere you look. There's some kind of story coming out. You know, we just saw another, naval carrier that had another case on there, and it's just starting to spread. So what's the general sense of things going on down there in Florida? I mean, we're talking about reopening things. What do you get? Anybody want to take that?
Dave, too, in Virginia and in the military, he's talking about COVID-19, Bob, is, you know, with all the stuff that's going on.
Oh, well,
Coach Dave?
We're still going to work. We're essential personnel at Fort Myer.
Right.
So we're still doing our day-to-day jobs. I mean, funerals, of course, you got to stay 6 feet apart, and they're taking their due diligence and making sure everybody's safe. But some units on Fort Myer are essential, so we're still going to work every day, trying to keep everybody calm and everybody safe, and of course everybody healthy at the same time. But the general sense around what happened on Fort Myer, I know to his unit, it was devastating. To the boxing family, it was devastating. And to the civilians that knew him, like when we go into the gym, we interact with the people who work at the gym, the people who come to the gym every day. So we see a lot of people and they see us. And Leo was a breath of fresh air. He always had a smile on his face, always doing something crazy, always laughing, running around. He just had a ton of energy. And that's going to be missing from our family right now. And it's hard. I had a mass meeting with the whole team just to tell everybody, like, we have to start checking on each other. We have to start talking to each other because life is too short to not talk to who you have close to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. You know, for a lot of people who don't know, you know, Leo was also an honor guard. And these guys, they take the job very seriously. And to be an honor guard, they deal with death every day almost. They're always there going through the military funerals and burying people all through the day. And they deal with death and this here. And, you know, it's y'all are very special guys, all of you. You know, I had the chance to meet all of them. And to do these things, they're very special. As I told you, Sarge, my father was a color guard. And y'all are very, very special. And Leo just formed right into the line like the rest of y'all did. The way that y'all train is second to none. The attitude that y'all have, you know, to be in the armed forces, you have that spirit that you never give up, you never give in attitude, and that's the making of a champion, you know. And Leo definitely had that champion spirit. When I talked to him when I was there, he had talked about, you know, he wanted to be a champ, a world champion. He went on the high level in the amateurs, but he wanted to be a world boxing champion, and he knew that I was the WBC ambassador and how many champions I trained, and he said he wanted to be on that level. And watching him, I knew that in time, you know, it was just a matter of time for him being put with the right fights, the right environment on that championship level to get him exposure that he was going to take off, like many of them in your program, Sarge, are capable of fighting on that high level. But we have another guest. We're going to close one out. We're going to bring another one, and we feel your pain. We have a guest, area code 716. Hold on, it's loading up. 716, Eric Tolt. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes. Okay, I'm calling first off to say thank you for the memories you're sharing regarding my great nephew-in-law. Kira, his wife, is my great niece. And I just want to thank you for the memories. I never had an opportunity to meet him because of this short relationship. But here is my heart. So I just want to say thank you for sharing things that I never knew about him.
Yeah, well, we'd like to thank you for calling in. This is definitely a surprise for us that you called in. He was something special, and, you know, special people like him don't come around like that, and that's why he's so well missed, and people are going to miss him dearly. and it's going to take a time, a little time for people to heal, but God's able to do all things. And with that, I like to secure you is that that angel of death is not to be a sad moment, is that it's a moment that the Lord sends for rescue. And that angel that he sends is only released by God. It ain't the circumstance that one goes through.
Correct.
Is that angel is God that releases that angel. And it's a rapture, and it's a protector. Somewhere or somehow what he was going through some kind of torment. And the Lord just felt it was too much for him that he couldn't bear it. So he rescued him. So
right.
We want to say that. And we feel your pain. And we feel your emotion, your feelings, and all of that. People have to grieve in their own way, in their own time. And there's nothing wrong with grieving. When you love somebody, you're going to miss them. And you're also going to grieve. So we know that Fort Myers down there is grieving, his family is grieving, and you're grieving, and his wife, who he used to bring into the gym, and his son, they're going to be missed too.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I do appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you calling into the show, and we heal through time. And how do you handle a broken heart is by the grace of God. Challenges happen in our life and death. I lost my father when I was a young man. And no one can blame that hurt that you feel with somebody you love, somebody you care for, somebody you look at. But through the grace of God, and through time, he heals the broken heart. If you love God and what he does, you praise him and you give him thanks for allowing us to spend some time with him and to find the good things that this young man had to offer, the things that he did for himself, the things that he did for fellow soldiers, the things that he did in the boxing game, and the good things that he did in life, and the thing, most of all, of how much he cared for his loving family. And I know the young lady's young like he was young. She has a one-year-old child. To my understanding, is that you won't be left behind, and you won't be without. Through God's grace and mercy, just keep praising him, and something good is going to come out of this tragedy of the loss of the life of this young man. So we ask you just stay strong and keep praying, okay?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Sarge, let's bring Sarge. He's on the line, and the coach who coached him, Sarge Dave Pugh. There's some other things about Leo, you know, some people may not know about the military end of what he does, you know, in the military.
Leo was a competitor, just all-around competitor. It didn't matter. We could be walking to the store, and he'd be like, I'll race you to the corner. And he was just a competitor, a fun spirit, just a joy to be around him and his family, his wife, his son. Everybody had a fun spirit, laughing, joking, cracking jokes in the gym. It was just an atmosphere of peace when we were in the gym training. Yeah, we did train hard, blood, sweat, and tears in there, but at the end of the day, it was a family atmosphere, and we understood while we were in there, we understood the task at hand, and we understood what everybody had to do so the team could reach the heights that it had. No one was bigger than the team, but everybody had an intricate part in playing their role for the team, and Leo was a big part of the team, definitely. He helped train when I wasn't there. He would take the class, and he would help train the fighters. But he was just an outstanding individual. And you had no other choice but to love him because he would smile at you every single time. And his accent, oh, man, you knew he was coming because you would hear his Aussie accent. And he would just be bringing his big smile into the gym.
Isn't that something, Bob? Any question for Sarge?
Yeah, sir. First, I just wanted to kind of comment on the fact that what's sticking out of my mind is that he was in the Honor Guard. He's 20 years old. That sounds like quite an accomplishment for a young man, too, as far as attaining a level like that, too. Can you talk about how that happened?
Oh, well, when you go through basic training in the infantry, they only select a certain few to go to the Honor Guard.
Sure.
When you leave basic training.
Yeah.
And I'm not infantry, so I don't know what that process looks like, but I do know it's a selection process and you have to get selected. So I know that they selected him for a reason. He was a top-notch soldier. His PT was ridiculous. PT is physical training. But he was just a freak of nature when it came to anything physical. So I understood why they picked him to be an Honor Guard.
Okay. Yeah.
What weight was he actually, too? What the, give us an idea of where he was boxing at, the weight.
He was at 150.
150, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was at 150.
Okay.
You know, Bob, I watched him to watch him train and watch all of them train, really. He was something special, and I combat on it because it reminded me, it's not too many athletes that you see are like real live ninjas.
Yeah.
He did real live ninja stuff. That's how strong he was. I mean, I've seen him flip, turn, jump. I mean, just phenomenal. In his boxing skills, he would use that type of boxing star with him in his movement, how he was able to slip and slide and roll up underneath punches and circle around people. He was something special. And we had talked about that, how special his boxing skills were. But, you know, Sarge and them were doing a great job with him. To make sure that he kept growing. You know, when someone's that talented, you have to keep challenging their mind and their physical abilities and the style that they got. And I was watching Sarge keep challenging them to keep on learning. Don't give up on learning and don't give up on improving. You know, and that's what he would do. Yeah. So,
right.
So what can we expect? I know these are difficult times about, you know, different funerals and stuff like that. So what can we expect? Because our boxing historian, Bob, Henry Haskopf, who does so many funerals and things, have agreed to come and do his the 9 count that he's done for a lot of boxers with Ford Leonard and his family. Talk about what, you know, a time period. I know it's going to be a while before we're able to do something, but talk a little bit about that.
Well, I just got off the phone before I called in, and I got off the phone with the gym that we train at, and they agreed 100% that his memorial can be there at the gym where we train at. Now, we don't have a date because the gym obviously isn't open right now, but he did assure me that whenever they opened, that we can definitely have his memorial there. So it is going to be on Fort Myer at the Marine Gym. I don't have a date or a time yet, but it will be there. I know his wife will be flying in for that, and I know you're going to be in attendance, and so will Mr. Hillman. To give his eulogy. So we already have several things in place for him. We already bought T-shirts with his picture on the back, and we're paying for a mural. It's the last picture that he was in with the whole team. We're paying for a mural to be sent to his wife and his son so they can always have that. And we already raised some money for his wife and his son and his unborn son. So we're doing our due diligence for him to make sure that he's taken care of and his family's taken care of.
Yeah, well, you know, while you're on here, for donations and stuff like that, I know his wife had asked you to handle that. If people want to donate for him, where do they send the donation letters or anything? Where do they send it? If you can give us that.
They could send letters to my address, or they can Cash App, or letter and Cash App. And do you need the Cash App and my address?
Yeah, we need the address and all that so people can know what to do and where to send it.
Okay, the address is 8611 Sweet Rose Court, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20772. And the Cash App is $ POUGHPHILLY 1. Everything will be going to his wife and his son.
Yeah. And if you can repeat that again, Sarge, to make sure people have it.
The address is 8611 Sweet Rose Court, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20772. And the Cash App is $POUGHPHILLY 1.
All right. You know, both of them are young. Leo was only 20 years old, and he had accomplished a lot in a short period of time. You know, Bob, this young man was definitely something special. But you know, his wife and son, and she's pregnant, and it's a sad thing. So our listening audience, the WBC has committed they're gonna do some things and. For Leo, and we're going to do some things for Leo and his family. So, the WBC has said that they're going to do something. So, it's something special. Bob, any more questions?
No, but you're right. But who's just listening here, and for a young man of 20 years old to have a list of accomplishments, man. When you guys are listening to your talk, it sounds like the guy was like in his 30s, you know. So it's a shame. He had a beautiful, bright future ahead of him. And I thank everybody really for coming on and sharing their thoughts. It was really moving.
Definitely thank you for having us on. Definitely thank you for allowing us to tell his story.
Yeah, is there anything else, Sarge, that you want to say in closing may have left out?
I just want to say, as you know, when we train, we don't have an actual ring or facility where we're at. We have to go to different gyms in the area around Maryland and Virginia to get some sparring in. And all the gyms that we go to, like Diamonds in the Rough or Sugar Ray Leonard, we go there and we spar. He made a big impact on those guys too, because as you know, he was a good fighter. So people wanted to work with him and train with him because he brought that dog into the ring every single time. So I know that it's going to hit them hard as well, because he's not going to be there anymore. So I just want to say thank you for them opening up the gyms to us, because that's another extended family of ours.
Yeah, well, look, we want to say that, but in closing, you know, with all the things that are going on in the world, like COVID-19, and for this young man to lose his life at this time, and I like to say a prayer for his wife, his family, his friends, his boxing companions, his teammates, and all of those that are involved, is that we like to thank God for giving us this young man, Leo. It's only you that gives talent, because talent is God-given. He's done well with the talent that he had and what you gave him, and we want to thank you for that. And we want to thank you for giving us and allowing us to meet him, his wife, his children, and the baby in the womb. We know that all through life, the good, the bad, and all in between is a test. And if we need to grow, Lord, please let us grow in the way that we need to grow. And we ask you, Lord, for his family to guide and protect them from the works of evil and the doers of evil. And we'd like to thank you, Lord, for allowing this young man to come in our pathway and to leave us with the good behind. He came in a place and in a city, and he left the good with us. He showed us no bad. And we want to thank you, Lord, for allowing this young man at his age to represent that which you give. And we'd like to thank you also for a coach like Sarge, Dave Pugh, and his assistant coach, and also Yusuf Hillman, who's a coach with him, and the chaplain with these guys. Nothing happens to a person in their life unless it comes through by you, Lord, and we just ask you to strengthen us and guide us and protect us all through this time period, and bless us in ways that only you can bless us. Show us how great you are, Lord, by bestowing blessings on his wife and his family that they need through this hard time, Lord. And let them mourn in the right way, Lord, where it doesn't bring darkness, oh, Lord. And let the light shine upon them that only your light can shine upon them. And lift his family and friends up to the higher places in this life, Lord, so they can represent like they talk about this Sunday. You know, we thank you, and we want to thank you, Sarge, for coming on the show today. We have 90 seconds, and we like to say amen to that. Closing in the 90 seconds, what do you want to say, Sarge? We'll give you 10 seconds.
I just want to say thank you again, and just give all praise to God, and rest in peace. Rest in peace, Leo.
Yes.
Yes, rest in peace. Bob, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. Bob, it was something special, man. They called.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It's difficult, but low after hardship come with these. Leo, rest in peace. We all love you, we all respect you, and we all care for you. We'd like to thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. Our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, who found some way, somehow, to take us on that carpet ride around the world. He had to go to South America to find it, but he found it. And we'd like to thank our boxing historian, what he's going to do for this young man, do that nine count. Henry Hathcock will be back next week with us, man. It's been a special day, been a heartfelt day, and we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio. Same time next week, 11 to 12.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.